This morning, just before Christmas, I'm finishing up a series from 1 John. In some ways, 1 John is a really straightforward letter. Love God, love each other. But there are some complicating things, things like antichrists that you have to be on the lookout for. There are challenges to love because, you know what, it's difficult. You have to be humble. You have to learn. But by the time we get to the end of 1 John, John's reminding his readers about something very simple. Remember the things that you know. He tells them the same things he's told them before, things that they probably already know. But sometimes it's really good just to get back to basics, isn't it? When we get back to basics, we reorient amidst all whatever confusion life has caused. Well, it's like being on one of my family vacations with my parents in Puerto Rico one time. Now, this is, of course, Puerto Rico. It's warm there. We can imagine it maybe a little bit. You can hear the ocean, and the breezes that are coming are not wind chill. They're just a little salty and a lot warm, right? Well, while we were in Puerto Rico many years back, we engaged in a very important family tradition. Family tradition. It happens every vacation without fail. And we don't know for sure when it will happen, but we know. We know in the Rules family it will happen. We will get lost. Family tradition. And we have two doctorates in the car. Those are my parents. And let's see, I have a master's degree, and my brother was a National Merit Scholar. And Beth is close to her master's, and the other sister-in-law, she now has her PhD. And yeah, we get lost. We can't read maps. So we're going around on this road along the north coast of Puerto Rico. And somehow we're supposed to get to the northwest corner of the island. And all you got to do is follow this road. You stay on the road, and like you hit it. And if you don't hit it, you go into the ocean. So, what's that?
There's only one road
around Puerto Rico, right? Like, how can you not stay on the road, right? It's very simple, right? Okay, well, we don't because, you know, tradition is tradition. So for some reason, my dad decides to take a right off of said road. And we end up in, like, this neighborhood for which we don't really have a map. And we start looking around, the streets are changing names, and we're doing this with the map, with the map, with the map. Okay, we're lost. Family tradition. And so we all start getting tense because it's dark and we're supposed to be at the hotel. And yeah, we all speak Spanish, but we really don't want to have to get out and figure this out. And okay, wait a minute. How are we going to get out of this? Well, duh. You have to remember what you know because Puerto Rico is not that big of a place. And if you kind of know, there's this thing, this little thing called an ocean. So let's see, if you're on the north coast and you were traveling westward, the ocean should be on your right. And if it's not, you have a problem, right? This is really simple stuff. But we had to run around the neighborhood for like half an hour yelling at each other until we realized, hey, look, there's that big blue thing that's kind of in the darkness. Listen, waves. Oh, it's the ocean. Oh, yeah, sure enough. You see, when we remembered what we, knew, we could find our way again. It doesn't matter how smart we are sometimes or how smart we think we are. It doesn't always matter whether we've got the right map or not. Sometimes we just need to be reminded. What is it that we know? Hey, on the right has to be the ocean, and then you can find your way. Hey, being a Christian can be a lot like the same situation. It can be exactly like that because, you know, you can be a Bible scholar. You can go to church regularly. You can learn a lot regularly. You can be very steady in prayer. You can have a lifetime of involvement in this kingdom project of God. And then sometimes you can get a little lost, whether by the confusion of life or a situation you've not faced before, or the way that grief can upend everything you thought you knew. You can get lost. What happens sometimes for Christians is that we get caught up in a way of doing things or a way of believing things that we can forget the basics. We can forget how that whole map of the Christian life is oriented or how we get saved. Now, if this morning you are among those people who are maybe fence sitters as far as Jesus is concerned or, you know, what's church really about, or you don't really consider yourself a Christian, you got to be thinking, well, great, if the Christians get confused about their own religion, what in the world am I supposed to do with this? Right? That's not particularly encouraging, I wouldn't think. Actually, maybe you're in a good position to appreciate the problem because you've seen plenty of church-going Christians get kind of confused about what they say they believe or how they live. Maybe if you're not a Christian, you actually have a clearer understanding of the solution if you would listen. You see, there are a lot of ways to get lost in religion. And religion isn't the same thing as faith, but neither one of those things can save you. We got to remember what we know. So come with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. That is on page 1903. Page 1903 if you want to read the English. And I'll be doing verses 1 through 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. This is where John tries to bring everything together. He tries to wrap it up and basically just says things you already might know. He writes, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commandments. This is love for God, to obey his commands. His commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that's overcome the world, even our faith. Who is the one that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." Back to basics. A caution against religion. You know, some of you are very familiar with the religion of doing enough. Of doing enough good. You've been there, you've tried that. It's not particularly satisfying to you. A lot of you have Catholic background. You grew up Catholics. And so you went through the rituals, and you did all the right things, and yet you found it very empty. And as I've learned in this area, the Catholicism that I was used to up in Michigan is maybe a little bit different brand. But around here, that whole religion of doing enough good is still pretty strong. It's over here at the Carmelite Shrine, where there's the grotto there to remember Jesus' death and resurrection, and there's a bulletin board outside the church there. And I was walking around the park, I said, "Hey, I wonder what they put up on their bulletin board." And sure enough, if you gave a certain amount of money to the Carmelite Shrine, they would say a certain number of prayers for you. And if you gave enough of a donation, they might even say a mass for you. Well, blessed are the ones who can afford to buy their way to heaven. That's pretty religious, I would say. And I've been preaching about this here and there for weeks, for months really, that religion is actually the enemy of faith. So when I say that that's religion, I reject it. This is not how we are saved. We can't buy our way to heaven. And more broadly, you can't do your way to heaven. You can't do enough good to get there. That's just not how it works. But here we are in a Protestant church, okay? So I think we maybe get that. We call that works righteousness, as if we can please God enough by doing enough. Okay, we know that that's not how it works. Okay. Well, then we hear verse 1 here. Well, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Ah, there we are in a Protestant church. We are big about faith. We say we have to believe, right? And we sing songs, we believe. We believe, we believe. But then the question becomes, well, are you believing enough to be saved? Or are you believing the right things to be saved? I mean, if you don't believe the right things about the Bible, or you don't believe precisely the right things about how salvation happens, or maybe about how baptism ought to be done, then maybe you're on the wrong side. So Protestants fight about stuff like that. We do. And when we do, I think sometimes we are rather lost in our own religion. Not a religion of doing enough good, but the religion of believing all the right things. Well, there are some things that are important to believe, surely. Yeah, that it's God's grace that saves us, that our sins are wiped out, that we get a fresh start on life, and that maybe we do good because we're grateful for a fresh start on life. But you can check all those boxes of belief about those facts and still not be saved. Because we can give our mental okay, like, yeah, I believe this. This is true. I think this is true. But that doesn't necessarily affect our lives. We can believe that God exists, that he made the world, that he still cares. The Bible is true. Jesus died to save me from my sin. I can believe all of that. And it might not make any difference to me. It might simply be another version of religion. Because listen, all those things I just said, all those facts, demons know them. doesn't profit them anything. In fact, demons know the truth about God better than any of us in the room, and it does not profit them. You see, for Protestants, there's a real danger about thinking that, oh, if we believe all the right things, then we'll be saved. That's not how we're saved. It's just not. It certainly doesn't work for demons. It won't work for you either. We've got to be careful with this religion stuff. Okay, so maybe if we're Protestant, what we need is the challenge of 1 John 2. Well, this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commandments. So maybe if we're leaning on the believe side, we need more obedience. Go and do some good. And if we're on the go and do good side a little too much, maybe we need a little bit of belief. Well, sort of. But then we can end up sort of chasing our tail in our own heads, in our own spirits, in our own lives. Round and round we go. Do you believe enough? Have you loved enough? Have you done enough good this week? Well, it happened at a local Bible study at a place we'll call, you know, it's just a nearby church. We'll call it New Hop Church. Couldn't have any relation to New Hope Church, no doubt. But New Hop Church, don't worry, they're not doing dances or there or anything like that. They might be a little charismatic once in a while, but, you know, New Hop Church, well, they were having a Bible study once upon a time. And they were sitting around in the room, and they were reading a book that challenged them to what the book called crazy love. Love your neighbor. Do something radical in Jesus' name, something self-sacrificial in Jesus' name. And the people in this Bible study sort of understood what was being said, that, you know, if it's just a belief in your head and it doesn't make that 18-inch journey to here, to your heart, it's probably not going to do you any good. It's certainly not going to do anybody else any good. They understood it, but they began to struggle because they started to wonder, well, is my belief strong enough to make me good enough? And if these things aren't happening in my life, am I really saved? Can I really be saved if I don't believe all the right things or if I don't do enough good? Well, you've got to beware of religion. You've got to be careful with that stuff because it's not the right things that you believe and it's not the good things that you do that save you. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And the one who obeys and who loves is born of God. Everyone born of God, verse 4, overcomes the world. You see, there's a first step that has to happen. Both belief and deeds are not the start of salvation. They might be the outworking of it, but it's not how you know you're saved. They might be the evidence of it, but they're not the thing itself. As much as those who simply want to believe all the time should obey, get out of their own heads. And as much as those who want to just obey all the time but are a little fuzzy on the belief need to believe, you need something more. You need what John counsels here. You need to be born of God. That's what destroys religion. That's what you already know. That's what should sweep aside any sort of falseness so that you say, you know what, this isn't about just here. This isn't just about what I do. This has to be about my whole life. To be born of God. And that means then ultimately, if you're born of God, this is not something that you have done. You can't get yourself born. I mean, not that you would ever try, but you know, sometimes if a woman's pregnant, you know, you think, oh, maybe now's the time. Maybe that kid really wants to come out. Well, no control there. There are other things at play. So when John says you have to be born of God, there are things that God has to orchestrate in your life to save you. That's how salvation happens. It is the free gift of God. Yes, you access it through faith. Yes, it should motivate you to live a wonderful life in Jesus' name, doing good for him. But those things don't save you. He does. Well, another warm weather picture for you this morning. A coconut palm on a beach. If we really begin to comprehend being born of God, we can appreciate how much this should free us from religion and a lot of other things. Well, if you imagine a coconut palm, well, it starts with this big seed, coconut, right? And you can chuck a coconut in the ocean, in the warm ocean. It's crystal clear blue. It's about 83 degrees. Let's just dwell with that for a minute, right? Yeah. It's sunny too. Oh man, is it sunny. And this coconut just floats around on the ocean. Just bobs gently in the waves, and it's not going to sprout out there in the salt water, right? It might roll up on the beach where the sand is perfectly warm. It's not even too hot. It's just really nice. Very soft sand. Oh, man, I want to be there, don't you? This coconut's got to get to the right place. When the coconut gets there, it settles in. Things that it can't control, but it gets put in the right place. Then stuff starts to grow. Likewise, people of God, salvation happens on God's terms. You cannot make it happen. Dear Christian, if you're out there talking about Jesus to someone who needs to know, you can't make it happen. Or in outreach ministry meetings, these last couple months, we've been having some pretty deep discussions here in the church committee to say, you know, we've tried a lot of stuff as New Hope Church. We've tried a lot of different kinds of things to reach people for Jesus, to proclaim the message, and somehow we feel like we're just not nailing it. And yet, we keep getting down far enough, and we say, you know what? Our job is to keep talking, but we can't change anybody. We're not going to change anybody's life. That's not something that we can do. It's God who's got to orchestrate the right circumstances. It's God who's got to change the heart. It's God who saves. It's not us. So we got to let go of some of those things. To be born of God means God has to do it. It's something he does in our hearts. That's how we're saved. And we're saved by this Jesus. This Jesus. Jesus is the Christ. He's the Savior. He's the one who saves. He's the one who changes us. A few weeks ago, I was speaking with a Christian woman about her spiritual story. And she said, oh yeah, for years I would go to church here and there, sort of show up and do the religious thing. And I read the Bible in all sincerity, she says, very earnestly. I wanted to understand how this stuff that happened, about 1500 BC to 500 BC over in the Middle East had anything to do with my life and what it had to do with Jesus and what that had to do with all the stuff that happened in the Roman Empire. And she was very sincere, and she said, you know what? But try as I might, it just never made any sense to me until God changed me. We can do religion. We can do all the church stuff we want. We can do all the Bible study we want. And that's not going to save us, because only Jesus saves. For this woman, she said, after God did this in my heart, all of a sudden I could read the Bible differently. Despite the fact that before I wanted to believe, but I couldn't, all of a sudden it just seemed easy for me. Because God had changed me. That's how we're saved. This is what we know. This is how we orient ourselves in life. All right. So what's the practical upshot now? If Jesus is the one who saves, this truth that we, most of us in the room, know, how are we going to approach the rest of life? Well, hopefully we gain a lot of assurance. A lot of assurance. Because if it's Jesus who saves, sometimes if we don't understand something, or maybe we're not sure we believe the right things, and we get real worried about it, maybe we let go of some of that anxiety. Say, you know what? Even if I falter in my belief, God saves. God saves in Jesus. He can hang on to me. We don't need to be afraid of those things. Because if Jesus saves, that's it. He's going to do it. In fact, I think that sometimes a struggle with faith, the struggle to believe certain miraculous things that God has said are true, can be a sign that God has already long since worked in you, because you want to believe, you want to understand. God has already been in your heart. He's already doing it in you. Isn't that a sign by itself that truly he's saving you? It's God's work. You can try to seek him out, but he's already found you. He already loved you. So you can let go of your anxiety a little bit. And what about those of you, and there are quite a few of you in this church, what about those of you who have someone in your family who's not a Christian? That gets very hard, doesn't it? can be devastating in different ways because you yearn so deeply for your spouse or for your children to love God the way that you do. And so you pray for them, you talk to them, you try to persuade them, you present Jesus to them, you say, look, this is what Jesus did for me, this is what I believe really happened. He died on the cross to save me from my sins. He saved me, he saved me, he saved me. And still they will reject you. And they'll reject this God that you claim to follow. And that's extremely painful. Yet, remember that you cannot save your loved one. You can't. In fact, it's not even on you. Yes, present. Yes, live in such a way that Jesus is on display in your life, but you have to wait for God to work. He is the one who saves. You can't save anyone. It's something that God has to do. So when you pray, you can release those things to God. Even though it's hard, ask for God's work to be done. Ask for Jesus once again as he saved you to save the person that you are so earnestly yearning for. God has to do it. Jesus is the Savior. John makes so clear. Again, just remember what you know. Just remember what you know. Well, work as Christians is, yeah, sometimes to create an environment, to try to till that soil, but we can't make that seed grow. But we'll get there. And what if this morning you're one of those fence sitters or gray area people? You're not so sure. You're not entirely certain about this Jesus stuff. Well, it's all I can do to tell you this morning that Jesus saves. But while I stand up here and tell you all these things and try to persuade you at least away from religion, at least to a serious consideration of what the Bible is offering, which isn't the religion of good deeds, it's not the religion of right beliefs, it's the faith around someone who loves you, who changes you, and who transforms the world. I can say all that, and I can offer all of that to you, but that will make no difference to you unless God is already doing something in you. Hopefully when you came to church this morning, you didn't come just because you had to, because the family's doing it, because it's something that you thought maybe you should do. Hopefully you came here to meet God. He's in the room. Are you paying attention to what maybe God is doing with you? Something burning in your heart a little bit. That wouldn't be because I've created anything here. It wouldn't be because I've said a lot of words this morning. It wouldn't be because we've sung certain notes. It would be because God is actually here and he's actually working on you. You do best and you do well and you'd be wise to pay attention to those things because listen, Jesus saves. God already loves you. He wants you for himself. That's what I hope that you learn if you don't know it yet. And if you do know it, remember it. Live by it. Rejoice. Jesus saves. Amen.